Okay, maybe we should start recording at some point, I guess.
I have been recording this whole time. We've been here for 27 minutes. I think we're waiting for Durin to be ready.
I'm all set. I'm just eating these Starburst.
I thought we were waiting for you guys.
Okay.
These Starburst sour jelly beans.
In 3, 2, no.
Welcome to the Scotchcast for the week of April the 5th, 2014. My name is Thurbleton, and joining me today is Shimboy630.
I just have to say, I'm a real fan of this podcast, you guys.
Yeah? Yeah.
No one's going to get that, but
Durin,
I'm happy I got to say.
Durin's here as well.
No words.
No, okay. Well, that was two, so you're already wrong. And Squiddle.
I have many words, I just can't direct them in the right direction this evening. I'm sorry.
Okay. And we're going to talk about just video games mostly, I guess. What we've been playing. Maybe some talk about fans. I don't know.
Fan fiction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess we'll start off with just Shinboy. What's new in the world of video games for you?
Nothing.
Oh, all right.
Well, actually, it's not true. There are things, but they're not necessarily new.
Well, sometimes, you know, we're in a bit of a game drought now that the first quarter's ended, I guess. A bunch of games came out, and now it's not really a lot.
A lull, have you?
Yes. So now's a good time to dust off one of the old games, right?
Everything is new to somebody.
I guess. Sort of weird logic to have, but okay.
Sure.
Like fire.
I mean... Not ever playing a Final Fantasy game except for one. Everything could be new to me, right?
Yeah, like this old PS2 game that I've been playing on my PS3. Final Fantasy X HD.
Oh, snap.
That came out on the 18th, I think? That sounds about right.
Sure, that's a date.
I think, yeah, because it was the 11th was Titanfall, and then some other game that no one cares about. Then the 25th was Diablo.
I think that's a game that's on fire, right, Shimboy?
Oh, yes. It is currently a train full of fire.
People don't not care about it. It's just people that do care about it, they're on fire.
Battlefield 4 came out in March?
No. Hey-o. The game's not on fire. The people are on fire.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, like, once the fire has subsided because of the ash, you might find that, like, all of them, their bodies, their souls are, you know, dark.
Ah, you did there. Yeah.
Final Fantasy.
You've been playing Final Fantasy X as well, right, Durin?
Yes.
How far have you gotten? Just out of curiosity.
I have gotten to, I can't think of what it's called. It's the second temple
that you go to. Oh, is that Jose?
Jose, yeah. Yeah, Jose's temple.
Is that the weird lightning one?
No, I think it's just before the weird lightning one. It's the one before that.
Okay, because I'm pretty far. I'm in the Comlands.
Yeah, I where I stopped was like just after the like military exercise where Sin beats everyone's asses,
and then you got to fight that boss that has way too much health, but you have Seymour, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he's totally a good guy.
Totally. Yeah, Seymour's, you know, he's on your side. I mean, you get to play as him. He levels up after that fight. Of course, he's a good guy.
I don't think he has a sphere grid though.
No, because immediately after the fight, you control is taken away, and then he is no longer a part of your party.
Yeah.
I have a question. Does this tie up Final Fantasy Spirits Within at all?
I don't. Spirits Within, was that a 7 thing?
No, Spirits Within was a nothing thing. It was
it
wasn't even Final Fantasy in the same respect of what you would classify as a Final Fantasy. They just stuck the name on it. Which I think was really a detriment to that movie, because I think the movie was actually pretty decent, but it was not Final Fantasy, and that fucking destroyed that studio.
Okay.
That came out the same year as Final Fantasy X.
Really?
2001.
Huh. Wow.
It's out on the PS3. It has, it's the international edition, So it has like the weird advanced or expert, I don't know what they call it, sphere grid. So I'm using the regular one though. So
yeah, and I'm using, are you using the expert. Yeah.
Oh, what? Okay. So were you like completely overwhelmed at the beginning? Yes. Like, oh God, what do I do with each character?
I every time I go to spin points, I feel like I'm potentially wasting them because I feel like I might be going the wrong direction. Like I'm actually like, I know you had said like you kind of wish you'd have done the expert one or whatever. I'm actually the other way around. I kind of wish I would have just stuck with the regular one because I'm already playing the characters to the, like I played this game before. So I'm playing the characters to the roles that they already had before. So of course, you know, is my healer and Lulu is a black mage and Titus, I don't care what you say. His name is Titus.
Excuse me.
Titus,
who's that? That's not a character in this game.
He is the main character of Final Fantasy X.
Oh, you mean Titus?
No, I mean Titus. Titus was in Kingdom Hearts. I know the names are real similar. I can see how you could confuse them.
Okay. Guys, but I'm kind of hungry. I'm going to go make a peanut butter sandwich with maybe some Jif peanut butter.
Okay. Is it Titus Maximus?
You mean you mean Gif peanut butter?
Oh.
Hey, during PAX Boston, can we go to the zoo and go see a giraffe?
A giraffe?
Yeah.
God damn it.
God damn it.
Are there any giraffes in Final Fantasy?
No.
Giraffes? Like.
But with the
there are giraffes.
Like, skin giraffes?
God damn it.
No giraffes. What about the totem guy? Tietum. Mr. T.
Yeah, so, yeah. So I'm playing them all to the same way they were playing the original game. So now, because of that, I feel like I'm constantly wasting or potentially wasting a lot of sphere.
The way the two sphere grids are laid out, like quite literally the way they are laid out, like the layout of the grid, is that you actually get more total stat points in the regular grid.
Hmm.
It's just that if you fill it out completely like a crazy person. But on the advanced grid, obviously the advantage is you get to pick roles for each person outside of what the game picks for you. So like if I was doing that, I would totally make Yuna my main strength character simply because the sound that you make when you thwack someone with your staff is extremely satisfying.
And it would just be weird seeing her like just smack dudes with her staff all day. Mm-hmm. That would actually be kind of cool. Why am I not doing it? God damn it. I'm also like, because of how the expert sphere grid is laid out, I feel like in trying to maximize the efficiency as much as I can, I feel like I'm actually being forced into having to backtrack, like fairly often, which again feels like I'm wasting sphere levels.
You can always get more of those. Those are pretty quick.
Yeah, you can. It's just, I don't know. It's not nearly as intuitive and it's outside of my comfort zone trying to do it this way. I don't know.
Because
eventually,
that's sort of one of the reasons I like 12 International better than 12 is because it's sort of the same thing. Where in 12, everyone has the same license board and you can just sort of go wherever.
Mm.
But in 12 International, everyone has a unique license board based on their class.
Hmm. Oh, that's right. It has classes.
That. So it's jobs. So it's sort of like a similar thing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Other than that, game is just as good as I recall. Because I played it probably not right when it came out, maybe 10 years ago, 11 years ago at this point.
Good. How's it been like replaying a lot of stuff? You remember a lot of the different places?
I don't remember anything. I remember like obviously the main, not really set pieces, but like I remember the comlands. I remember specific boss fights.
Is it
geography-wise,
is it anything like when you play Guild Wars 2, for example, you would sometimes come across something that was from Guild Wars 1. Huh? But I know Durin played Guild Wars 1. Did you play Guild Wars 1?
Me?
Yeah.
Guild Wars 1. I played like 45 minutes of it.
I played like 2,700 hours.
Okay, I wasn't sure who the people were. But going back to the point, it's you would come across places in the new game that's like, oh, I remember this from the old. Have you ever had experience like that with the HD version of like, oh,
I mean, it's
I remember this.
Kind of. It's like I'll remember, I remember fighting this guy in this arena. It sort of brings up like a mental image, but it'll be like something where I don't remember the mechanics of this fight one bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's more like I remember locations. Like, I remember all the locations I'm going to as I go to them. But, like, you know, the temple puzzles and stuff like that, I don't remember any of that bullshit.
I remember, like, one mental image of the first puzzle. Other than that, I remember, like, there being spheres that you have to quite literally carry around and place and things.
I spent way too long in that the first real temple that you go to. Like, not the very, very first one you walk into. It's just a straight line, but the first real one you go into. It's been way too long in there, way overthinking, trying to put spheres in places.
Some of them are pretty simple because they're designed to be.
Yeah.
The only time it gets hard when you're trying to get the destruction sphere to get, like, the extra chest in each one.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it can get real tough.
No, it was like when it removed the fire floor, I thought there was something to do with that pedestal you were supposed to push, and I spent like an hour in there trying to figure it out. And then we finally realized, like, no, that pedestal is actually useless. Like, there's actually no use for it whatsoever, and just moved on.
Yeah, I don't remember most of it, but, like, that combat system just clicked instantly. I played so much of that game originally. I still think it's really good. Dern disagrees. He's wrong.
No, the combat actually is one thing I enjoyed about it. I just didn't enjoy the way that the Aeons called that game. The way that those just don't, like, they're useless most of the time. Like, they're used as a like big damage dealing thing during a boss, and then
they are basically, for most of the game, they are relegated to just being your only limit break.
Yeah,
and even and they just, don't even get limit breaks for a while.
Right. Yeah. It just sucks. Like, I don't like that as a mechanic for those things. But other than that, no, the combat actually I do enjoy. I think obviously 10-2 has a better combat system.
I haven't played 10-2, but I would say, like, out of the games that I've played, 10's combat is the best in the series. Like, obviously, it can be broken because every single one of those games, not just in the Final Fantasy series, but in that entire genre, can be broken.
Right.
So I think that's a silly argument.
Is it bad that I don't remember, like, Chocobo riding or anything? Whatever it is. I played FFX Final Fantasy X, and I don't remember. I watched the quick look they did recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember any of that in the game, not a single bit. And I wonder,
are you talking about the chocobo racing thing?
Well, not the chocobo racing, but like the battle that they had with the Sin and all that. I don't remember any of that.
Well, to be fair, that was how many years ago?
Yeah, but I mean, I remember Zelda games back from, you know, also, Link to, like, the Past, Link's Awakening and stuff.
My point is also, how far, I didn't watch the quick look, how far into the game were they? Because you just might not have gotten there.
I don't remember how far they said that they were, to be honest.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, Brad was pretty far in at that point. Like, I think they were, like, leading up to... Or no, they weren't. The battle for Sin that he's talking about was the one that was just before where I'm at now.
Oh, okay. So you don't fight Sin, you fight the big, giant scorpion thing.
Yeah.
I remember there was a part, the last part of that I remember, I was, like, on an airship or, like, a big airship-type thing running around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last memory that I have of playing.
Because the first boss fight on the airship is, like, way after that.
Yeah.
Well, he also jumped around a little bit.
So, oh, okay.
But
so I thought it was interesting that I don't remember, like, it was all new to me looking at it. And I'm like, I don't remember it. I know the characters, but I don't remember the storyline.
Because, like, I remember the general storyline. But, like, I'm sort of excited because I remember... Like, I know who the last boss is and, like, some of the more surprise story twist bosses, but I don't remember the exact details of how things wrap up.
Mm.
I'm sort of excited to see that again.
Yeah, I played all the way up to, I don't know how specific I should get.
Man, this game came out 10 years ago.
I played all the way up to the point where you enter Sin.
That's, like, the very end.
Yeah, and that's where
I stopped. That's, like, the last big area.
Yeah, so I, like, I know, like, I've played, you know, played and remember a lot
so
of
like, you story-wise, like,
everything
the,
up to that point.
You but did, I have like, no the Unalaska fight and all that.
Yeah, but I have no idea how it resolved.
That Unalaska fight is a bitch.
I think when I was younger, I may have confused Bouncer with Final Fantasy at some point in my memory because it was very much of the same character looked stylish. you know, big medals and, you know, over exaggerated shoulder type things and swords. And I don't remember. I don't know. I'm just,
in your mind, Final Fantasy was actually that, Irgiz or whatever that game was called.
Yeah. I don't know. It melds together for me for some weird reason. But I remember enjoying doing the, what was that game they played in there with the soccer ball, the underwater
Blitzball?
Blitzball. I remember doing that for like a good 3 hours.
Oh, that is the worst part of that game.
Yeah, Blitzball is the worst part of that game.
What like, there's nothing to Blitzball. You're watching it more than you're playing it. And now, if you try to, you lose the game.
Well, I remember that, but I saw the, and I never played, what was it? What came after that? Like FFX 2?
10-2.
Oh, yeah, 10-2. Yeah.
10-2. If they were as hot as they were in the second one, I probably would have played it more.
I just want to let you know that in the second game, Riku is still 17. Just going to throw that out there.
It's legal in some states.
I suppose. But like, I just think it's – I mean, you can just easily shrug this off by saying, hey, Japan. But like in 10, when Riku rejoins your party – and there's a – they cut to a special CGI cutscene of her coming out of the water and taking her wetsuit off, and it zooms in on her ass that she is 14 in that game.
In 10?
Yeah. She's 14. Yuna is 17, I think.
That's right, you know,
When it comes to animation, in my mind, whatever I say the age is, it is. All right, let's just go with that.
I don't think that'll hold up in a court of law.
Trying to jump back to the previous topic on Final Fantasy, I'm curious what your guys' opinion is just in general gaming. Blitzball is just one of the many games that is that based off of a real like basketball, football, something like that, or soccer?
It's kind of spherical like, soccer.
Yeah. Okay. Like what is your favorite or most enjoyable experience that is a game you play on like a computer or a console that is based off of a real life game?
Windjammers.
I haven't actually played that, so I can't say.
Is that like based off volleyball or something?
I don't know. I'm making that up.
It had to be Madison 94 or okay. Madden 94. Madden 94.
Madison.
Madison.
John Madison.
Probably Tecmo Bowl for the SNES.
Okay. Like for me, it's probably like Death Ball.
What's Death Ball?
Death Ball is a safer version of soccer, as we jokingly called it, but it was a I think it was either Unreal Tournament or Quake mod that was pretty much, it was a soccer field, and you had this, I don't know, it's pump action gun or something that you could either pick up the Death Ball, and then when you had it, you could, you know, pass or throw, but then if you didn't have it, you could just kill each other. And you would respond, but
does Griff Ball count as one of these types of games?
Oh yeah, I mean that had a pretty good following after its creation. Yeah. As much as we might have varying opinions of the people who created Griff Ball.
About like
Red Rooster Teeth.
Oh yeah, all the Rooster Teeth guys.
Yeah,
I don't dislike the Rooster Teeth guys.
I was
just upset at their booth placement because it's going to be crowded.
Yes,
it's not that I dislike them. It's just
they suck.
I'm not a fan of the choices they made to become as popular as they are.
Whatever, man.
That would be almost like saying Penny Arcade.
Wait, hang on.
Didn't mean that they would be as big as they are. They chose
to become as popular as they are. I can choose to be more popular.
Yes.
Why the fuck did I know this when I was in high school?
You're saying you're not one of the cool kids?
Because you were knee-deep in hacky-sacking?
I played the violin. What do you think?
You played the violin, and now you're on this video game podcast. I'm sure we were all the cool kids in high school.
So not to go off on a tangent, but a slight one. I played violin for 8 years. Of the last few years of that, I became a hacky-sack player and hung out with all the stoners, even though I never smoked until I was 23. And I had the greatest time of my life, and I knew that I would be a winner at that point.
Hacky sack is fucking lame. Hacky sack is fun.
It is actually so fun. Think of it as like Dungeons and Dragons without having to roll dice.
What? Also, without the fun.
I am bringing my hacky sack to PAX, and I will show you how much fun.
In the river.
Speaking of Dungeons and Dragons, Shin, what else have you played?
In addition to Final Fantasy.
Excellent segue. That was planned the whole time.
Yep. A plus to Durin. Gold star.
Yeah, don't point him out.
Oh. Shh.
We'll edit that part out. It'll be fine.
Okay.
Fix it in post. A group of us on Rumble, there's 7, 8 of us, something like that, have been playing Pathfinder.
Don't forget to mention me.
And Squiddle. Well, you're not really playing. You're just sort of there.
Yes, but my character is awe-inspiring.
Yes, I suppose.
Wait, you have a character?
Yes.
He showed up last week when we were like 3 weeks in, so we made him a familiar, the Black Sparrow of Time. Just follows our party around.
I've heard that before, haven't I?
You have.
Okay. Please continue.
So, yeah, we started playing Pathfinder. Loopy is our GM, not DM, because that's trademarked by Wizards. And we're using Roll20 to play it over the internets, and it's been pretty fun.
When you guys get into combat situations, is there a graphical board of some kind?
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, Roll20 is really good. Like,
yeah. It's pretty good. Like, you pretty much set up like a macro for whatever, and like, so if you do an initiative roll, it all gets thrown into a table, which can then be sorted, and
yeah.
So like, that is a separate part of the UI, so everyone can see everything.
The big question I have, Shin, though, is do you guys use 3D dice?
He did, but for some reason it started breaking everything, so we all had to turn it off.
Really? I have it turned on, and I know that Crash has it turned on because
had it turned on, and then Loopy told me to turn it off, and the DM's word is law. So,
it's mandatory. Everybody must use it because
for me, like I can understand the other aspects of the D20 system, like programming system. It's just, and this is varies from people's opinion and whatnot, but I began playing D&D with a board and having the physical layout, and making that transition to playing with people who don't use a board, even when we're all in the same place, definitely makes it a more creative experience. Like with a board, you feel like you're thinking inside the box, as much as I don't use corporate lingo. Whereas, yeah, you can't position around and whatnot and have flanking or combat advantage or anything. The DM tends to, you know, go back and forth with more crazy, you know, stuff that you want to do.
You also have to think, like, pretty much almost everyone, except for maybe like two people plus the DM, this is like first time playing any sort of like real tabletop RPG.
Yeah.
So we sort of went for the as simple as possible route.
I have a great idea how my character could help out in that entire thing. If it was possible to interject roles for a raven to fly.
Well, I mean, you got one hit by that boss. So.
Well, no, the idea is that I, as the Black Sparrow of Time, I can have everybody roll back two roles from, like, let's say two turns from their previous one. If I'm next to that person. So if that person dies, they can enable the Black Sparrow of Time and channel him and move two actions back from what he did.
Man, you're gonna have to run this past the DM. This is not my decision to make.
No, I've been thinking about it, like the way I can at least help out if necessary.
Yes, I made an elf ranger because of course I did. But
because you're Legolas at heart.
Yes, I wrote up my character bio and I started it like the origin story for the Green Arrow on Arrow.
Oh goddamn.
Except now I have a mistrust of all humans except for Revan, so like Crash is a human and I don't trust him one bit.
That's fair enough.
Okay, this is a secret. Shh. No one tell anyone.
No one.
But I made my alignment lawful evil, so they made the mistake of letting me open the chest, the big ass chest in the big goblin camp that we were in. And I didn't tell them pretty much anything that was in it, so I just sort of have it all. Shh. Don't tell nobody.
Jeez.
There was like a lot of money and things to sell in there. My whole character's goal is to regain his family fortune. So
that's pretty good.
While I was away, trapped on the island, some unknown human usurped my family fortune. Hence my need for getting money back and mistrust of humans. If for some reason I picked my favorite enemy type as dragon. I don't know why. Not human.
Well, because you gotta get them right underneath that like scale that's been missing and shot out, right?
Oh man. So. References. Other fantasy. Yeah, it's been fun. We do that normally Sunday nights, except we're not going to next week for obvious reasons.
But what if
people show up on time?
Oh, what God, if we did?
That'd be a disaster.
Wait, we did it at a bar.
I've been thinking, we're already a few episodes, if you will, in. So probably a bad idea, but I've been thinking about sort
sessions.
Of maybe.
Yeah, I think sessions would be a good term.
Yeah. I've been thinking of maybe recording them, but at this point we've already started and are a good bit in, so it wouldn't be worth it.
Wait, what if I challenge Loopy and become a GM on another mod happen. And everybody defects over to my game?
That wouldn't happen because his game is probably better than your game.
Oh, those are fighting words.
Your game would be over the top for the sake of being over the top and thus wouldn't be fun.
You take one step. You take one step, and now you are a paraplegic.
Take one step, and oh god, there's gelatinous cubes everywhere. Guess what? They're all level 8, level 1. Fun.
Oh man,
their AC is higher than any of you people could possibly roll.
And that aspect, everybody have to channel their AC into one pool.
I don't think that's how that works.
They all pray to the sun god, and
it was funny. We were trying to figure out like what gods are all going to worship, and like half the people had this idea that they just all wanted to worship Krillin. I'm not sure why. So Hennet is a cleric, and I think he actually might follow Krillin. I'm not sure. Zuby was just like, you can just do whatever you want in terms of gods. I don't care. They might have a few followers of Krillin. Hey, Pathfinder. Tabletop RPGs.
We actually have a running joke in my D&D game that we are on the search for Kakarot.
God damn. I'm going to go see what, because I don't know nothing about D&D proper. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious to see what Wizards is going to have at PAX, because they're apparently going to be showing off a lot of 5.0 stuff. I don't know what that entails, but it's going to be there regardless.
Yeah, I had some friends that were playtesting 5.0, and it doesn't sound that great.
Do they like 4.0?
They had never played prior.
Okay.
Oh, okay, well.
Because judging from what I know about D&D, the people who complain about 4.0 complain about 5.0. I don't really know. A lot of people still like 3.5.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
Seems like 3.5 is a really in-depth, like, design of it, so it's sort of you want to have the proper weapons for fighting the proper guys. When you like do a hit, there's a lot more calculations that are put into play, whereas 4.0 almost want to say like Pokemon or like, you know, trading card gamifies it somewhat. Mm-hmm. So that you can actually cut it out and have your moves be like cards. And then 5.0, from what I've seen, gets rid of the trading cards and tries to make it again more of a theater of the mind, simplifies it to maybe like 2 pages worth of stuff, your stats and your moves and maybe your inventory. And I don't know. It seems like
3.5, right?
Excuse me?
Pathfinder uses 3.5.
Pathfinder is like a modified 3.5. Yeah.
Okay. See, in my game, we're actually using 4.
Yeah.
So I was curious what
it seems like. It's a CS 1.6 versus CS Source type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people just can't move on, man.
I feel like this is. Are you trying to segue to what I've been playing?
I don't have the list open, but let's say I am.
Okay. Well, it's I've among other things, I played a little bit of Counter-Strike Source again. The reason why I've still been playing that. And why I enjoy playing that opposed to games like Global Offensive, which I have, but I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't feel comfortable with it. You can't do crazy stuff like what is happening in a game of Counter-Strike Source specifically gun game, despite the fact that Counter-Strike does not own the name, the two words gun game, they cannot say that. It's people have their own servers, so whatever.
So the last time I played any Counter-Strike game, the biggest thing was either everybody spawns in a tiny box cube and kills everyone, or the other game was everybody has knives and nobody uses guns. So what is gun game?
Gun game, specifically the kind I like to play with, it's not – you can do round base, which is a typical setup for Counter-Strike, but I enjoy the hot action, respawn, instantly mode. You start off with a certain gun that everyone else starts off. Let's say like a level one gun.
Okay.
It's typically a pistol, like the base pistol. And when you kill someone, you go up a rank. And depending on the type of server again, you will get a better pistol, either instantly or next round, next respawn, something like that. And you start ranking up and you get to then shotguns and then SMGs and you go all the way until you get to like the best gun ever. Not the best gun, but the heavy machine gun. You kill a guy with that, and then you have to get a kill with a grenade. And then you have to get a kill with a knife. And then you have to go all the way back to pistol.
That actually sounds pretty fucking fun. I like
that. If you knife someone, you steal their level. So they actually go down a level. And then if you add this type of design, the objective is to try and kill, like, you know, 2 to 3 people before you die. Hopefully not to knife, hopefully just getting shot.
Sure.
But it is extremely, extremely loud. Like, there's no reason to not be constantly firing, and most of the maps aren't exactly a very small box. Some of them are.
Okay.
But they're not a big box. So you spawn, you take like, you know, a dozen steps, and then you're into the shooting area. So it's again very loud.
And does this lead to more people like camp sniping? Or no, is this pretty much like people just run in with like, you know, MAC-10s and just like spraying if possible?
Occasionally, yeah, there are camp snipings, but if you stay there long enough, you're going to get killed. In my opinion, it is worth it more to be moving.
So to kind of put this as an analogy, if I'm using that terminology correctly, Unreal Tournament 2000, 2K, is it very similar? Like everyone's moving. There is no someone standing still. You're consistently, if no one's in that room, you keep going to the next room. No one's there, you go to the next room. Do you find someone?
Which Unreal Tournament?
2K? Wait, Unreal.
I think that's a thing.
Wait, Unreal Tournament.
2K3 and 2K4.
2K3, sorry. I apologize. Yeah, there you go.
No problem. I don't know if it's that, like, it's a much smaller map. I thought I was streaming this, and I thought I saved a copy of it, but apparently not. But, yeah, after we're done, you should definitely, I'll invite you into a match if you have it installed still.
Yeah, I do.
And then, like, the crazy music that happens at the end of each match when someone's won. The fact that Counter-Strike still has sprays, whereas Global Offensive does not. Like, it's more the dumb stuff that I see people spray, not like the...
Global Offensive doesn't have sprays?
No, they don't have sprays.
Why does that game exist?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, that's... It's a really dumb experience that's just super fun and just like I'm cackling the whole time while this is happening.
Okay, so you start out with a pistol and you kill someone, and let's say you go up to M16 or whatever rifle is at that point.
Yeah.
If you get killed by somebody with a pistol, do you lose your rank or do you just respawn with your rifle?
You respawn with your rifle, and you only lose the rank if you get knifed.
Okay.
And so that really is a neat way of gating it, because for most map designs, you're not like in close quarters.
Hold on. I was gone getting more drink. Are we talking like classic gun game here?
Classic gun game. Counter-Strike.
Okay, good.
And so it's like this added threat of, okay, there's these three guys shooting at me from across the way, but I need to focus on this guy rushing me. He's halving the distance already. I need to shoot him with my gun, not only to slow him down, but to kill him before he gets to me so I don't get my gun stolen, my level stolen.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that's one thing. I guess I should say I haven't been playing a lot of new games because there was this time where I had like, you know, $500 some odd. And I was like, you know what? With this, I could go buy a PS4 or something. And instead, I bought a flight to Boston and I'm going to be at PAX.
Old games are cool. Yeah.
So
especially if you play what is it, the soccer game we played last year at PAX?
The original FIFA for the Sega Genesis?
Yep.
That sounds pretty good.
It was pretty good.
So I've new but old games. I've been playing some DayZ, which it's super alpha and the experience is it's more the crazy stuff that I see happening in that game. And being part of early access with this has been neat in that they've been adding towns. Like actually, I'll link you guys in the Skype call, but someone doesn't have Skype notifications disabled.
Oh wait,
are you still logging on Skype on the second PC?
No, I'm not. But no.
Okay,
other PC is goddamn.
So that image, the three towns you see, those are all new that have been added with the standalone opposed to the previous game. And so it's been this neat experience of running around and seeing stuff just pop up that wasn't there the week before, like whole towns. But even crazier than that was the time that I broke my leg in the middle of nowhere because I ran up a giant rock and then fell. You know, 5 feet and broke my leg because armor physics.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah,
it's... Wait, five feet?
It's armor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was your view distance turned up, which is why it thought that you were like 20 feet maybe, and then...
I don't think that's how that works.
No. Oh, okay. I was just run along, and this is like, hey, let's just walk up this 90-degree angle. That's taller than you are. Break your leg. And a friend of mine had told me a long time ago that there's this thing called the Reddit Rescue Force. And normally with anybody doesn't know, it's DayZ, it's a survival thing. So everyone's trying to kill each other and not survive. You aren't usually trustful of other people, but I figured the only other option since I'm in the middle of nowhere is to kill myself rather than crawl to the nearest town and get mauled by zombies.
It's always the best option.
It's always, yeah. Except sweet embrace of death.
Yep.
I tried these guys out, and I just made a post on their Reddit, and they I joined their TeenSpeak. And it was, I've never had to go to the hospital for like an emergency, but it felt like a video game version of that.
What?
It's okay. So I get into the TeenSpeak channel, and there's like a sort of a receptionist, just this guy who's part of their like medic community, who's just not active right now. It's like, all right, well, I'll explain what you need to do. Just change your TeenSpeak name to say your condition and your location, all that, and then just hang here, and someone will help you out. And so it's like I felt like I was filling out a waiting room form or something. And I start talking to the other people in the channel who
your
are all
insurance changed.
Yeah, just thanks Obamacare. The other people, it's like, hey, what are you in here for? It's like, oh, I broke my leg. You? Oh, I'm bleeding to death in the middle of a town. It's like, what is going on here? And then these two medics come into the channel since it's the default channel. You like when you join the server, you're in there, and they start talking about like, oh, what's up with you? What's new with you? And it's oh, it's yada yada. What's going on tonight? Oh, we got a hostage situation in channel 3. And I'm just like, what?
Like listening in on like a dispatch?
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, it's just like two doctors, like, you know, getting ready for their shift, drinking coffee, passing through. It's the weirdest thing. And eventually I'm the last person to be helped. And a guy comes on. It's like, yeah, I'm nearby. I can help you out. And because it's DayZ and it's Reddit, they occasionally get people who are not extremely truthful and are instead trying to backstab them and kill them by drawing them into a...
You don't say.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I was about to say, yeah.
DayZ and the internet? Who knows? To protect him...
DayZ and Reddit, that's the combo that...
The guy starts going through this protocol. He tries getting me on this like Chinese server that's got no one... Like it's basically... He's intentionally picking these servers that no one goes to because they're either terrible paying, just like he's making me go to where he can. So after a while, we get on a server that he's okay with and like no one's on. I'm able to get on. And he finds me, fixes up my leg, has me like to walk around to make sure everything's working, gives me food and everything, and then it's like, well, pointing the gun at me, it's like, okay, now you need to log out first. It's like, what? And it's like, well, if I log out, then you can shoot me while I'm logged out, because there's a 30-second time frame, apparently, before you log out where people can still kill you. It's to prevent, like, people just logging out to run away, sort of thing, to avoid.
Right, but I will say that has to do the same thing with him, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like, he is confident, since he is part of the meta crew and all that, that he cannot kill me, but he still doesn't trust me. So it's like, all right, log out. And then it's like, all right, well, thanks for everything. And if you could adjust this, like fill out this final form to say that like I helped you out to improve my ranking and then change the Reddit post. And it's like, okay, thanks. Goodbye. And
strange.
That's the weirdest thing that's happened to me in that game so far.
I like the things that cool, exist. Though.
Yeah.
That's...
In a game that, like, people will handcuff you and force feed you disinfectant and rotten food to then make you go on this drug-induced death craze before you pass out.
That's just called Friday Night.
Yeah, that's, it's a weird game.
Wow.
I can't wait till they add vehicles.
Well, I've asked this before, do they have a timetable for when it will be, like, even out of, because it's still an alpha, right? When it will be beta?
They're hoping by the end of this year. They actually, I forget the convention, but they added a lot. Like they had basically a roadmap for what the rest of the year is going to be. They want to add a cooking system and hunting within the next few weeks to months. And then I think it's like server stability and trying to get like people up to like a 100-man server sort of thing. And then they're going to start adding vehicles and whatnot. But in terms of going from alpha to beta, no. No roadmap for that.
Because my worry for them is that they take their time to the point where by the time the thing is out, no one cares.
Yeah, basically like the Minecraft issue.
Well, that doesn't...
Well, yes, but Minecraft
issue is that
popular.
They're making money hand over fist.
Well, what I mean is like by the time that they released... Like a lot of the hardcore Minecraft people that got them there had left the game entirely.
Yeah, but I don't think that's not really because I think that Minecraft is way more of a mainstream appeal than something like DayZ.
Sure.
So, like, I think for DayZ, it would be a bigger issue than it was for Minecraft.
Yeah, I could see that.
Especially since you have other games like Rust and whatnot popping up that are similar. Not the same thing, but...
I was going to say, Rust doesn't have zombies.
No, it has dicks. Apparently.
I forgot about that.
How could you forget?
The game is a superior game.
Yes. All the dicks.
Yes. So anything else there other than dicks?
I don't have too many developments. Maybe the next time we talk, I'll be able to talk a little bit more about it, but... I've been getting into Kerbal Space Program a lot more recently in that.
That's great.
Sort of, I think Ryan Davis was actually the one who said it, that if you put money down on something, you become instantly more interested in how the result of it is. I think he's talking about like, you know, putting $1 down on like whoever won a match or something in a game. But basically my boss and I are racing to see who gets to Kerbal Mars first alive. And the winner gets $5.
Oh, there's money on the line. You got to do this now.
And so I have been sending Kerbal after Kerbal into deep space trying to accomplish this task.
When you say sending them into deep space, do you mean like you're shooting for Mars and you miss and they fly off into deep space?
I'm saying I'm shooting off and trying to get in a good orbit pattern of Kerbal. Okay. To then go to the moon and just like practice landing on that. Like I'm still, he is Russia in this case because he is very far ahead of me in terms of like knowing what he's doing.
Okay.
But as the lagging behind US, I'm going to try catching up as much as I can this week.
Channel your inner Kennedy.
Yes. Yes. I will try to do that.
Oh, you should no longer try to channel your inner Kennedy.
Okay. All right. Well, then, yeah, that's
Kerbal's neat.
Kerbal is
one of those. I should play. I have Kerbal. I should mess around with that more.
Same here. I messed around with it one night. What fucked me up with it was I made the mistake of trying to understand too much at once.
Yep.
And decided to ask Mage Knight for advice.
Oh, that's
bad. And that dude is in deep.
Yes. Yep.
In that game. And it just, everything was way over my head. And I kind of decided at the end of that night, like, that game maybe just wasn't for me.
It's actually what's nice is there was a recent update, I think April 1st, that hit that is basically NASA has asked them to make this addition, even though the game isn't complete yet, to let people see how hard it is to do a real life NASA mission that is actually in the works to try and fly something out to an asteroid and redirect said asteroid to orbit the planet Earth or Kerbal. Or Kerbin, I forget what the name is.
I think that NASA, like, this is sort of an aside, but NASA needs to do something like that because NASA is awesome,
yes. Right?
I think all of us here can agree. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where, like, they have fallen out of the public eye a bit, mostly because of reasons that are out of their control.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially the loss of their funding, like...
Yeah, nope. So they need to do something to be like, hey, kids, NASA's still cool.
It's the people who control the pot, like the budget. They do not see the value of NASA in a direct line. Like,
I forgot where I read this. It was on Twitter somewhere. This is actually talking what you're talking about with asteroid stuff. Where, like, the budget for cheaper postage... For senators, for a year, is higher than the budget that NASA has to explore into redirecting an asteroid.
Jeez. And actually, a different thing is on the subject of budgets, I guess.
It could be bullshit. It was on Twitter. I don't know.
The bank bailout, I forget how much it was, but like the 2013 bank bailout, too big to fail or whatever, is more than the entire operating budget for NASA for the past 50 years.
Yeah.
And so, yep. Anyway, though, the neat thing was, is with this update, they added two new rocket, like a new booster and a new rocket type that makes it insanely easy to get off the planet, or at least the first stage.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely recommend trying that out again, Durin, and just, you know, baby step it, just try and get a basic orbit going around and all that.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like that night, I actually felt like I made pretty good progress because by the end of the night, I was able to get something up into nearly a high orbit. But I just couldn't ever, like, it was just shy of being able to get far enough to actually get a proper orbit going.
Yeah, my issue is the opposite, where I will just rocket so far, like use so much fuel and get so far out that I am. Keeps going away from the planet with the projected path. And like once you get out of the upper atmosphere, I need to lay off the throttle because I'm going like 3,000 kilometers per second sort of thing.
Jeez.
It's insane.
Per second?
Incredibly
fast.
It might just be meters per second, not kilometers.
That sounds more likely.
Very quick and very far away.
It's like Kerbal's one of those things that I launch like once every few months, mess around with it for a few hours, then don't touch it again for a few months.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's been that few months at this point, so I probably should load that game up again.
Okay.
Yeah, that and Prison Architect.
The Saturn Mark I version 1 rocket is currently leaving Kerbin at 3,226 meters per second.
That sounds about right.
I want to take a screenshot of this because it just looks so dumb. It's just the projected like orbit just stops tracking after a while. But then the funny part is it starts tracking its return because it is on an orbit, just a really, really far one.
Wow.
It's like a comet around the sun. Just an incredibly elongated orbit.
But yeah, that's Kerbal. Hopefully I'll have a bit more, fancy way of talking about what I've done in that game next time. But the last thing that I will do my best to keep my promise to Shimboy to not actually talk about Dark Souls, But I have beef with Dark Souls, with Cynic, who's not here to defend himself.
I want to hear this beef with Dark Souls.
So
I give you permission.
You guys know I like Spelunky.
Yes.
Played a lot.
Yes.
Yes.
Cynic, on many episodes ago, I didn't know the exact number, but I know it was on a recorded episode, tells me to get Dark Souls because it is like Spelunky and because I enjoy Spelunky.
As someone who does not play either of those games, he is incorrect.
Yes, he is very much incorrect.
That sounds like fighting words.
Outside of them both having a tinge of difficulty, in different ways.
So opposite. The entire thing is like you just keep banging your head against the wall and something will eventually happen. Whereas Spelunky, that is not the case. You can bang your head against the spike wall as much as you can. You will die every time.
Maybe he's meaning it more towards trial and error every single time.
He might just be playing like the difficulty angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
It's with Spelunky, Spelunky is a better comparison to something like DayZ, where you need to embrace and accept death and not get worried about it. Whereas with Dark Souls, if you die, it is something to worry about then. Because then you have to, well, for the most part. If you died with a lot of experience on you, aka souls, you need to worry that you need to make it back to that bloodstain to retrieve those souls without dying. And it becomes this very stressful thing. And then like an idiot, you'll retrieve those souls and you'll just keep going and get killed again rather than go back and use them. That's happened to me a couple times.
I'm with you on this though. They cannot be more different.
Yeah. It's definitely been an interesting experience. I've been slowly getting through there. At past Honor of Londo, I guess
I don't know anything about the layout of that game.
The way the game plays is very nice, Spelunky is not Dark Souls.
And I don't think anyone would argue that it was. That was a sane human being.
I almost feel like when I tell Cynic this, he'll just be like, "Yeah, I was just tricking you to play Dark Souls."
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Because if I know one thing about Dark Souls, is that I hate the community. So much.
I've been looking for a game that has the same mindset of Rock Climbers in that you aren't really competing against each other. You're just competing against the wall to try and you suggest things that'll let people get up there and you're working towards the same goal. I thought Spelunky Daily Challenge was that. To try and get people, to beat the game and all that. But no, they're just fighting for...
I would say Dark Souls actually is that, but only when it's first out.
Yeah.
When no one knows anything. So Dark Souls 2, right now, basically. Dark Souls 2 is maybe a few weeks ago at this point. That's when everyone doesn't know anything and you're just sort of giving advice to people on forums. Hey, this boss has this weird thing. I don't know how to beat it. How should I beat it? And everyone's like, here, I tried this thing. Try that. No, that didn't work for me. I tried this thing. Try that. And you get that weird back and forth.
Yeah, the jumping puzzles in Guild Wars were like that too, especially the Haunted Tower one.
Yeah. You got to learn here's the pattern. Here's how you have to go up this pattern. And not everyone knew it at first.
So if anyone knows any games that are a cooperative design where the person helping has no real value, no real reward, I guess.
If you want to play a cooperative game where the person you're cooperating with has no real value, just play a co-op game with Squiddle.
All right.
Wow.
Well, let us know games where Squiddle and I can play stuff at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter.
Guild Wars 2 is a game where I play a thief with a short bow that does absolutely nothing, which is what Shin is referencing.
Yep. No, it's just every game. That was just an example.
Wait, you can't... So what was that one game we played with the movie
Racist.
Games? No, that... oh,
R.I.P.D.?
Yeah, okay.
But that game...
I wasn't worthless in that game. It was just a bad game.
The thing that had no worth there was the game itself.
So I win in that aspect.
Yes. You are better than R.I.P.D. the game. Congratulations. Yes.
But I guess the one game I know you've been playing that does have a cooperative element, Squiddle, is Diablo.
I picked up Reaper of Souls when they announced it. And I have not been playing cooperatively with Cooperatively. with anybody yet. But I absolutely love the update that Diablo has, or Blizzard has bestowed upon Diablo. Let's see here. Hold on a second.
I've actually been playing Torchlight 2, oddly enough. Just a little bit, though.
Which is kind of like Diablo, only different.
It is kind of like Diablo, except it's way cheaper. It has mods.
It is cheaper. But I would just say Diablo has been a great game. I absolutely love what they've done. But if we want to play a cheap game that is good, that is entertaining,
Torchlight 2.
It has great replay value of stupidity.
Torchlight 2.
I am talking about Goat Simulator.
That doesn't have co-op.
No, it doesn't. But I'm hoping...
Wait. I'm missing something here.
I never said co-op.
Oh, never mind. I thought you did.
No, I didn't. No, no
co-op. I thought we were still on the co-op hype train here.
No, but... I played Diablo 3. It's great. I love the stuff they did. Taking out the auction house was an A-plus thing that they did.
Duren, do you have Diablo 3 or do you have Reaper of Souls?
Yes. Yep.
How do you like it?
It is fantastic. Yeah.
What were your thoughts on vanilla Diablo 3 for reference?
Well, I really enjoyed it at launch. And then I hit Inferno and I was not playing a Demon Hunter, so I stopped playing the game.
Is Inferno, is it the top difficulty or was the top difficulty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is exactly where I was. I got to Inferno. I was a Demon Hunter and I said, nope, I'm done. Because after 107 hours of playing it to get there,
yep.
I didn't want to play anymore at that point.
Well, the auction house really did destroy the game because it took away the whole point of a Diablo game. And that was, you know, the loot lust. Because the game became more like less about actually going and playing the game so that you can get that loot, and more about how can I exploit the auction house to go buy the gear that I need.
Well, and not just that, but the loot that people would sell in the auction house, I never saw drop at all during my entire gameplay. So their loot system was fucked up from the beginning, where you could get maybe one legendary. I could probably say I got an average on one legendary per level that I played at to get to Inferno. And
in base game?
Yeah.
That you wanna know how many legendaries I got in the base game?
When you hold on, just to clarify, you mean like by level, you mean difficulty setting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In the base game, I believe I got exactly two legendaries the entire time I played. And that's, you know, again, like 100 plus hours of playtime.
Okay.
Are legendaries their top tier in terms of stats at that range?
Legendaries and tier sets kind of go hand in hand in that regard.
Yeah.
It's still good to have a tier set drop.
And talk about a tier set. I had one that I didn't realize what was a tier set when I got back into the Diablo. And because I guess I didn't realize it was green before, and green was like, you know, you combine your sets and you get bonus points to whatever. But when I jumped in and playing for about 2 hours, I got another tier set or something different. And just seeing the loot and the reward from playing was there more so than in vanilla Diablo 3. And that made me want to keep playing and consistently play because I felt like I was doing the work to get it, but I was actually getting it this time, as opposed to grinding in an area to get enough gold to then go on the auction house to buy something that somebody put up. Because I couldn't get past it.
That's what made, like, when they did this update even prior to Reaper of Souls, like, that's what, like, I came back to the game even then and immediately enjoyed playing because you get that rush every time a legendary drops of, like, ooh, what is this? And that sense of accomplishment every time you actually get an upgrade, which never fucking happened in vanilla.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I remember people in vanilla having an entire tab full of legendaries, or their bank, you know, their on themselves person full of legendaries, and they would just do like a, you know, watching Twitch do legendary auctions.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, and they would discover all of them at the time, and I'm like, how did you get all of these? And
then you would just make real cash money.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. What was the one guy that was really big? I can't remember his name. I used to follow him and watch all of his stuff on Twitch, which is why I played a lot of it. He was the one that got banned from Guild Wars 2 for doing the exploit and streaming it on Twitch.
I don't recall.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, Yeah, he would at least weekly have an entire tab full of stuff and be like, yeah, you want this? Okay. And like do real transactions. He got like, you know, $500 in real money sent to him through things he sold, which was like, okay, that's awesome. I can do that. But in doing that, I lost love for the game and got love for the money. And it kind of transitioned for me. Now, without that there, I feel the love for the game again.
Did you ever actually sell anything on the Real Money Auction House?
I posted probably four things. One of them was for $160 that I posted on there. And I had somebody bid on it. And then their transaction got pulled because they were a bot bidding. And so I never got anything out of that. I was kind of bummed. And that's when that was the point where I said, okay, this is bullshit, you know, yeah. To where it gets to the point where exploiting the auction house hinders my experience with the game. So I said, I'm done with that. And that's really when I stopped playing until this new patch came out and they talked about the Loot 2.0 system. But yeah, ever since the Loot 2.0, absolutely love the way the game has gone.
Yeah, so. it's
The auction house, because that Loot 2.0 patch went up a few weeks before the expansion. Yes. Did they pull the auction house before that loot change went in, or was it all at once?
That loot change was all at the same time. That was that pre
expansion. Okay, no, because I could just imagine the hellish nightmare that would be that gap of time between when they pulled the auction house and when they put in the new loot system if they decided to do that.
Well, hold on a second. I mean, I would say you're right, but however, a week before I went in, which was dumb for me, when I did make a lot of gold off the auction house. I will not kid anybody on that. I had about 2 million gold in my account. I logged in 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks before Reaper Souls came out, and I purchased a new pair of leggings on the auction house for like 2 million. I was like, you know what? It's going away. I'm just going to buy it. Didn't even think of it. I was drunk night.
So you went into Reapers of Souls with 2 million?
No, I didn't. I wish I would have. After that purchase, I went in with like 200,000.
Oh man, I went into Reapers because what I did is when I realized a friend of mine actually mentioned this to me, and it was smart. Was that pre expansion or post expansion? Like none of our gems were going to fucking matter anymore.
Yep, that's very true.
So I just went on fucking fire sale of all my gems. I went into Reaper of Souls with over 6 million gold.
So if you can loan me 2 million, I would appreciate that.
This is tricky, but I don't like how crazy Blizzard games have gotten with their number inflation. It's just insane.
You have no idea. I have a friend who is playing I have not hit max level yet in Reaper Souls, but I have a friend who has and has been gearing himself out and everything, and he has abilities that are hitting for like 100 million or like critting for 100 million.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it does – the advantage of large numbers is basically like adding more decimal points, as in you can get more precise amounts out of it, like within a range. But come on, it's – at a certain point, it stops mattering.
No, yeah, it definitely does. But at least with the new system, I don't know. You feel like you're doing more damage because you are, and it's enjoyable because the way they changed – how enemy difficulty is based on your level, not based on that you selected Inferno or Hell to join in.
Yeah.
So it really does add more of a strategic sense when you're attacking something. When I played the vanilla, I was much like I am in Guild Wars. I know, Shin, you're going to hate that, but I would stand there.
Is it really bad?
No. Well, yes and no. There was no strategery, as I'll put it. In the way that I played, I would hold shift down to keep my character in place and hold the one mouse button down or the second mouse button, whichever one it was, I can't remember right now, to consistently fire my alternate weapon and then just aim with that. I would never move, dodge, do any of the other kind of combos because I was so OP for my level.
You played a wizard?
No, I played a demon hunter.
Oh, okay.
I was so overpowered for my level because of the auction house that it didn't really matter how I played. I could just spray and pray, and I would always win. When Reaper of Souls came out, that changed everything in the way that I played. And I realized that at least within an hour in playing, that I actually need to move around. I need to kite enemies and actually do something besides just stand there. So it gave more depth to the game than I was previously.
Yeah, if you need to be more active in combat, it's going to give more depth. It's going to be more fun, or at least more engaging.
Definitely.
True for any game.
So, but I have yet to be able to do that in Guild Wars 2, which I'm sad. I need to figure out how to.
You're using gear with toughness and vitality on it. That's why.
I use gear with toughness and vitality because you say I die too much. If I do glass cannon, you say I die too much. So I'm confused on how I can even. I cannot please play better. You.
Play better.
Play.
It's like I don't know how to say that without sounding like a dick, but that's the answer.
No, fair enough.
Gear encourages bad play.
I mean, when I played Diablo 3, I focused more on how my character's build is. I understood the difference between damage and how everything added up to your base damage. In Guild Wars 2, I never really did that. I just like, I want to be an assassin and run around and then backstab people. And that's the amount of mentality that I attributed to the game. So,
sure.
But you don't need a lot of mentality when you play Goat Simulator.
Oh, segues everywhere tonight.
Ew! Which
like
is
like I'm a ball cop with all these segues.
Oh, no. Oh, Goat Simulator, go. Hurry.
So, yeah, I played Goat Simulator, and I love it for how broken and dumb it is. It is probably the best $10 that I have ever spent on a game.
That trailer was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
The Dead Island one.
That was... God, just being able to, in that game to run and then slow-mo everything for as long as you want, that's a win. That's a win right there in my book. But there's so much more to the game that I know I haven't discovered. And it was funny. At some point playing this game, which you could maybe call it a game, maybe just call it something broken.
Thing.
I said to myself, this game is really like what is there to do? There's nothing. It's all broken. And I thought, well, that's the whole point of the game, is that it was never meant to be a real game. It was just meant to be an experience.
Seems almost kind of like the Stanley Parable in that regard, where it's sort of like, okay, here's this thing. Go see what weird stuff you can find in it.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I've gotten to. I've seen people that have become a giraffe at some point.
Or it's actually, I think it's the tall goat is what that is.
I think you mean a giraffe?
Just backstab real fast. I think Stanley Parable like points out the failings of game design in the form of like the roadmap that game designers want to do, and then like how they have to make a really linear story and poking fun at like player interaction. Whereas Goat Simulator is the programmer's it's that same analogy, but for the programmers, and that like. This is as broke and as dumb. Like we have to put foam on all these hard edges, but instead we're just going to show you the hard edges and see all the dumb stuff.
Definitely. I mean, Goat Simulator would not be what it is if it was as clean cut as GTA or as clean cut as a BioShock game. The fun.
Those are not examples, but okay.
The fun and dumbness of it comes from how broken it is. And I definitely appreciate. I mean, one of the rewards or quest is to jump on all the trampolines, chaining them together around the entire playable area, which is asinine to crazy extent. My only pet peeve with the game, which how can you have a pet peeve with a game? Yeah, well, no, is that.
I know we're explicit podcast, but let's try and keep the pet peeve stuff.
All right, the only broken shit in the game that I can point out is if you get a special power, let's say in the game, and you go to grab another special power, everything just goes to shit, just breaks. I mean, you cannot get a third special power. I think I got the largest, tallest goat. But because I already had two special powers, nothing happened to my image of my character. It said, you have gotten this, but nothing happened. So, but it's a game about being broken and being fun. So I can't say bad things about it, honestly.
And it's not too expensive. This is a separate issue altogether, but like, I get really mad when people are just like, this isn't worth $10. This is a waste of money. It's like, man, I went to Wendy's before and spent $10.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money. I spent how much on Dive Kick when it came out? Yeah. I played it like 4 times, but I bought it because I liked the people who created it. I thought it was a fun game, and why the hell not for a few times?
Well, and people are like, well, after you've mastered that, it's a short term, like you master the game in like an hour or something. But the fun of that then comes like with Stanley Parable and Dive Kick and all those other really dumb cheap games is having someone else play it and then you watch them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, more just I don't understand. Maybe it's because I don't really have like terrible money issues, but it's like, sure, I think if a game's really short, it's only like 3 hours and it's like a full $60 game, that might not be worth your money from a value point of view. But if it's when you get down to like the $10 to $15 range, like, what do you expect? Like, you're not going to sell a game, except in very rare cases, brand new for like $3. You're not going to make any money. Like, these things have to at least make their money back so these people don't just have to live on the streets.
I mean, I would say it's very similar to people bitching that people who charge $0.99 for a phone game, yeah, complain in that same aspect. You know, like, I don't want to spend $1 on this. Like, really? You spend probably $90 on your fucking phone plan a year, and you won't spend $1 for at least some subtle entertainment on the damn device? I mean, give me a flipping break.
Well, I won't, but that's because I think most, if not all, of the iPhone games are bad.
Sure, but that's an honest opinion and an honest understanding.
See,
of
that's you bad. Not getting the game because of the games, not because of the
right.
price.
Right. Right. So, but yeah, Goat Simulator is, if you get $10, don't buy the hamburger, buy the game.
Yep.
So that's
buy my, both. Why not buy both?
Yeah, go get a Wendy's Baconator and then sit same down order. with a Frosty.
And my order play the game. It was like two of the junior cheeseburgers off the value menu.
Okay.
And then a chicken sandwich off the value menu, a medium fry, a medium drink, and a small chili. And it was like $9.52 or something like that.
Back in the day when I worked in cell phone sales, which I admit to, was Singular Wireless, there was a Wendy's near us. And for about a good month straight, every single day, I would go to the Wendy's and get 5 double stacks with cheese and bacon and eight ranch dressings. And I would eat the entire thing in less too much. Than 40 minutes.
That's a lot so, of...
Ever since then, I have never gone back to Wendy's ever again.
Love Wendy's.
No, Wendy's is great, but I have a stigma that I will never...
You ruined Wendy's for yourself.
Exactly.
Poor man.
So yeah, Goat Simulator, fun.
This is the ScotchCast, your Giant Bomb Community's Wendy's podcast.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Wendy's, a freckle-faced redhead that you'd love to bend over and take her up the ass. Anyway, we will...
Excuse me? This is a family podcast.
That's right. We'll edit that out in the
guys, I think I need to
post-processing.
What, you need to go find the Wendy's girl? I see.
Let's see. What else? What have I been playing? I played Gifts of Guild Wars 2. I think, Shin, you said that what started the Wub Wub?
Oh, the Wub Wub tournament.
Yeah, so
I currently, was told that... we won our matchup, and now we're getting our asses kicked.
Yeah, we owned it for a week, and then we got our asses kicked, or a weekend?
We won our first matchup, and then yesterday the second week started, and now we're getting our asses kicked by the new matchup.
Yeah, so I played some of that.
Thus is life.
Had a good time. Still a sucky character that I play.
Yep.
I don't.
This is all true.
So enough of that bullshit. I will also say that I have been playing a little bit of, speaking of better RPGs.
Better than what?
The Guild Wars 2.
Okay.
I've been playing Stick of Sanhet, which is Norwegian for Stick of Truth.
Oh, okay.
South
is there any relevancy to the fact that you wrote it in Norwegian, or?
I did it in Arabic and I couldn't pronounce it, so I did it in Norwegian because at least I could phonetically pronounce it when.
But you just Google translated it in this Google Doc.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so that is a better game than Elder Scrolls Online because Elder Scrolls Online sucks. So there you go.
Okay.
End of that conversation right there.
But Dern, I heard you've been playing Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, I'll have my time.
Will you?
We'll all sit through it.
Okay, then let me finish with my stick of truth so I can shove it up your ass later when you talk about ESO. Anyway, so stick of truth, absolutely fun game. I feel really bad that I did not select the Jew class.
Yeah, I felt bad for that too.
I really wanted to just to say that I picked the Jew class, but because I wasn't Jewish, I felt like I wasn't able to pick. You. Yeah, it wasn't for me. And I don't know what that says about me.
In a roundabout way, that kind of makes me feel better about my choice because I did pick a semi dark skinned thief, and Cartman said that I would make a good thief.
I mean, if I would have called myself the Hebrew Hammer and not Squiddle.
I was just going to say that if you picked a mage, that you were implying that you were actually a mage.
A wizard, actually. Is that?
Oh, is it wizard?
Yeah. Yeah. Wizard. But that game has so many quirks and just references to old school South Park and stuff. Let's say set aside the entire comedic value of South Park. The RPG factor is really fun. I think they do a very decent job of getting people in who have never played an RPG before to understand how it's played and how to, you know, add new armor and make sure
that this makes sense considering that they're going for the South Park audience. Assume that they're all RPG players, most of them are not.
It's very, I think they said this on the quick look for it, but it is very reminiscent of Paper Mario.
Okay. I never that played Paper sense. Mario.
It looks like Paper Mario in terms of combat.
Yeah, the combat is very, 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 very much Paper Mario. It's funny you mentioned Squiddle, like it's made for people who are not really into RPGs, mm-hmm. Getting and equipping gear and everything. I would say it is, in that you are constantly getting new gear, so you never have to make hard decisions because you're just always getting new shit.
Well, you're never encumbered, which is nice.
Right.
Which people don't really understand. Would that be too high a level for people who have never played it before, RPG before? And you can loot everything in that game. I mean, you can go into any house, go through any drawers, take everything. And I absolutely love that. Very Skyrim-ish with the cheese wheel. Just take everything. But the game is great. Absolutely great. And if you are a South Park fan, the callbacks to older episodes and just... Okay, I don't know if anybody who's listening to this remembers, but do we all know who Big Gay Al is?
Yes.
Can we say that? Okay. He has a special move in the game.
Oh, no.
That you can call upon once a day. And it is...
Hang on. Okay. I need you to not spoil this. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
I haven't played the game at all.
I will just say that it is magical, disgusting, and I laughed my ass off when...
These sound like all of the things that I want out of South Park.
Yeah. It's, oh. Mr. Hankey's is pretty good, too.
I haven't gotten to the point where I can use his.
Really?
Weird. I found two of the children.
Oh, okay.
I haven't gotten the third one because I didn't care to keep going down that path at that time.
It took a little too long.
But I just want to say I am glad that Nazis are back in full frontal form to challenge everything I know about gaming. So I'll leave it at that when it comes to South Park.
Yeah, it's a great game.
All right.
It's a good game.
Need to play that. That's a summer sale.
Since we all know now that Elder Scrolls Online sucks, Durin, tell me why it doesn't suck. Because the last time I saw it, it was covered with a bunch of shiny people with oil in their skins like they just got off the Jersey Shore. So explain to me how it doesn't
suck. Okay, how long ago did you see this game?
About a week before it came out. Someone did a screenshot, and they had the human centipede of there was a picture
of
human centipede, and they were all oiled up and
I don't know how they did that because I've not seen that. I have not seen a body oil item in this game.
Not looking hard enough.
Maybe I'm just not looking at all the right ends. No, I guess what I really like about it is it's not your standard MMO. It's weird because like a lot of people who have played it, like, oh, it's such a generic MMO.
I don't understand. That happens with literally every MMO.
Yeah,
because that's what people say.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the internet is just down on everything, but like super down on this game. Like, I think Jeff put it best. Like, the internet acts as though this thing killed their dog or something.
It did. I can confirm.
And if somebody doesn't like it because, like, Jeff had said he didn't like it because it was just boring to him. Like, that's understandable. Like, not every game is for everybody, and I understand that. But I feel like a lot of people are just hating on this game because, like, it's the cool thing to do right now is to hate on this game because it's releasing. But as for the actual gameplay of it, as somebody who is not a huge fan of Elder Scrolls, like, I've played Skyrim. I played a little bit of Morrowind, didn't like it. I played some of Oblivion and liked it a little bit more, and played more of Skyrim and liked that a lot. I think that a lot of people who have been very down on this game were expecting a Skyrim multiplayer experience, and they didn't get that because it's an MMO. Concessions had to be made. Also, there was a shitload of progress done on the way the game felt over the last probably month or so.
I personally find that hard to believe without playing it.
Having played, four beta weekends?
Yeah.
And then also,
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying, right. Like, me personally.
That's the thing, is like, a lot of people, anytime you're like, let me tell you, I have played a lot of MMO betas.
Yes.
I've bought
a lot. You don't say.
and, something you see a lot in beta general chat is people complaining because this or that or whatever is broken. And a lot of people who are the, white knight defenders of the game saying, well, it's just beta. That'll be fixed by release.
Yeah.
And, like, you'll see that 2 weeks before release. And people are like, oh, it's just beta. In this case, that turned out to kind of be true with a lot of stuff.
Because, like, when I think of beta, right, the definition of beta is feature complete, right? So when I'm going into an MMO beta, I expect things to be broken, but in a, oh, hey, this item exists, but its name is in brackets and it has a placeholder icon.
Right, or like, this VO is missing, or this quest is kind of buggy.
Yeah, or like, guess what? There's bugs with like the boss for this quest not spawning properly. Stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right, yeah.
Not exactly. Straight up, this feels bad.
Right, and that, and I will completely agree. Like, I was very back and forth on this game going through the beta week. It's like I talked to you about it. Like, I was not sold on buying it. I was continuing to play the beta weekends to see the changes that were being made, and I didn't feel like they were being made well enough. The biggest problem I had was with the melee combat. Like, melee combat just felt like super floaty. There was no impact feeling to the hits. It just kind of felt like you were just kind of swinging. And
that's a problem that the Elder Scrolls has had before in general.
It is, but it felt really bad in this game. I think it was probably exacerbated by the latency of an MMO. But they did something right before the last beta weekend that I guess. I can't say that it fixed melee combat. Melee combat definitely can still be better. It could be more responsive than it even is. But it is a day and night difference. And like, that alone was enough to get me to be like, okay, I was already kind of enjoying the world and enjoying the story. Now that I can actually play the game the way I wanted to play it, I'm willing to toss some money down and kind of see this journey through a little further.
Which sort of brings me to the question I asked you the other day, is like, are you enjoying this because it is a good MMO, or are you enjoying it because it is another Elder Scrolls game?
So I actually got to do a group thing last night, I think it was. And aside from the quest being broken in the dungeon, and it's not
just some of the last bugs month. That happens.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the first time actually being able to like work with an organized group and kind of do a proper MMO thing. Because like every other MMO that releases, the leveling experience is mostly just solo stuff with other people running around also doing it.
Yeah.
And actually, like, doing those dungeons, like, it was actually, like, a fun dungeon run because it does have, you know, the Holy Trinity. You have, it's a four-man group, one tank, one healer, two DPS. But the way the tanking, as I learned after the run, the way the tanking in this game is actually done is you just hold the big dude and the little dudes are dealt with by the damage dealers. And the healer just, you know, runs around doing their thing. And I kind of wondered, given that this is a more action based combat, similar to like a Terra or something, mm-hmm. I was worried about how that exactly would work out. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it actually works really well. The healing, it seems like a lot of the healing is AoE based,
yeah.
So that you don't have to like
sort of to
at somebody, right? But it actually like it totally works, and there is a strategy to the combat that I, you know, I've said in the past, that's one thing I don't like about the Guild Wars 2 combat is the lack of structure to the combat, because I feel like that's something that is – you need the Holy Trinity to do that. I understand why they didn't do it in Guild Wars. It just that's
what I think that the issue with that in Guild Wars 2 is an issue not with the combat. It's with the encounter design, but that's another argument for another day.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, the encounter design.
Well, I think it would also be with the people that play it. I mean, I came from playing a DAOC, or let's say, from what was the original MMO that came out?
Original MMO?
Like Ultima, or is that what you're talking
Ultima,
about?
Ultima, yeah. So I came from Ultima, DAOC, Anarchy Online, to, you know, Asheron's Call, WoW, and then Guild Wars 2.
So Guild Wars 2 is very, very different than what you
Yeah, and, and so, you know, it's just... I think it's people that are not used to playing in the same aspect or right, in that same way that are looking at it and going, oh, okay, well, I don't know what to do then, you know, or I'm going to play this way and it's not a feasible way to play the game.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, and so talking about your MMO history, that'll lead me to one thing. I haven't had a chance to actually try it myself, but I will mention to you, because you are so anti-ESO, is... You played Dark Age of Camelot, you say?
Yes. For a good, like, 9 months, almost a year.
I hear that game is very, very PvP heavy. Like, that's what it's known about. Or known
when
about
I, PvP, right? when I played the game...
The RVR.
RVR.
Yeah, if you will. Yeah, when I played the game, the realm versus realm, or PvP, was not heavy in the game at that point. This was at launch.
Okay.
And they were just talking about having siege weapons... And destructible castles, have you? Like breaking down doors.
So real early days then.
Really early, like from launch up until maybe almost a year after that game had been out.
What
they have done since then, no effing clue.
Okay, I was just gonna say, because if you were a big fan of DAOC, you would probably want to know that the lead designer behind the PvP. Thing in this game, the Cyrodiil stuff, was dude who worked on DAOC.
Yeah,
so
which makes sense looking at the ESO stuff.
From what I heard from people who played it, like, it is very much inspired by that.
The last MMO I remember playing that I absolutely loved and I really got into and was to the point where I would talk with people in map chat. I was like a guild leader essentially. And really had an economy or a backing of people, a notoriety, I should say, was it Saga of Heroes? But it was, what was the one that : Saga of Heroes?
Not a clue.
Vanguard Saga
Vanguard. Of Heroes. Okay. Yes. So I was in Vanguard Saga of Heroes, and I had been given the reins to a guild called Crusaders Lost in Talon.
This is an RP guild.
Can anybody give the name?
I mean, I can understand where you're going for with the acronym there.
Yeah, exactly. So it was given to me, and I took the reins over and became very popular in the whole thing. And then Sony Online Entertainment, like they do with every game, fuck it up, bought the company and just drove it into the ground, essentially. Or they just drove it like. I don't know, shunned the developers for whatever reason, fired a bunch of them, or the game company dissolved, and SOE took over, and it was horrible after that. So that's my moment in glory.
That I remember. But no, I think one of the biggest things I'm really enjoying about the game, honestly, is, you know, I've been playing for like 20 plus hours so far, not a ton, but about as much as I can. I'm like just hit level 15 out of a max of 50 levels. I've, you know, been exploring around, doing as much of the content as I can find. I've yet to have a single like go kill 5 rats quest. Like everything is very well written and well explained of why you're going and doing this, and it all feels important. And there doesn't seem to be, like, there hasn't been, at least so far, any trivial filler content. Now, whether
that's just making me want another proper Elder Scrolls game, god damn it.
Well, like, whether that continues throughout the game, like, we'll see. But it's definitely a nice fresh change to, you know, at level 2 be going and like closing Oblivion gates and like be doing some stuff that makes you feel heroic even when you maybe don't look the part yet.
Well, they do the Elder Scrolls thing where you level up by leveling up individual skills, right?
Yeah, like you get skill points and that's what you
use. I think that probably has something to do with it.
Definitely, it does, because like you level super fucking slow in this game.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter. Like you're not waiting for that next level to come, because you might finish a quest and they're like, all right, here you go, here's a skill point, or you know, like 3 sky shards and you get a skill point. So not only does that make the leveling like almost not matter, but also it so with the game you have, you know, it's similar to Guild Wars 2, where you only have X number of action buttons or whatever they're called. In this one, you have 5 buttons and then a potion button and an ultimate button. A consumable button and then an ultimate button. At level 15, you unlock the ability to weapon swap, so that'll give you another 5 buttons, essentially. If you want to, you can actually have that be the exact same weapons, so it just gives you an additional 5 abilities of that same weapon type, if you're that kind of person. But one nice thing about the system they've used here with the skill points being separate from the leveling is, if you are playing through, like for instance, my character, I'm playing through Sword and Board. I have been from level 1 to 15. If I suddenly decided, like, I'm kind of tired of doing that, I'd rather go, you know, play two-handed instead. It's pretty trivial for me to get that stuff caught up to the point where I am in the game, because it's not a matter of like, well, okay, now I got to start a whole new class, level all the way back up to 15 again. Like, no, I just put that weapon on and, you know, level up that weapon by doing things. And the content you're doing, if you're doing, you know, like you know, where I'm at level 15 content, and you're just starting out with your two-handed weapon, you're probably going to gain, you know, 3 or 4 levels by the time you're done with the quest. Like, it you know, does speed that process up a bit. And then it's just a matter of, you know, having or finding the skill points to unlock the abilities and you know, further down that tree. So
it is independent from the leveling itself.
Yeah, yeah. So it's nice being able to just kind of jump around from, you know, one play style to another and not be not feel like you're being punished by the game for doing so. But yeah, no, I mean it's I can't say whether I'm enjoying it because it's a great new MMO, because I'm still in the super early stuff where it's very much single player and solo stuff. I haven't touched the PvP yet, but I'm actually interested in seeing it and seeing kind of how that combat works in it. But it's definitely not the Antichrist that the internet wants everyone to think it is.
I don't believe you. It's the worst thing ever created. It killed my whole family.
Yeah. I have a question real quick. At what point do we think that Skyrim and the way that it looks in a game itself will be
like what an MMO looks like?
Yeah, we'll be like what MMO looks like, because that's kind of what I was hoping. I mean,
I don't know if you guys realized.
You have to remember what Skyrim looked like pre mods.
Yeah, vanilla Skyrim is not that great looking.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like there was an article I saw on IGN where they were doing like comparison shots, or it was like comparison video between what Oblivion, or sorry, what Skyrim looked like and what ESO looks like, and like it wasn't even like a fair comparison, because it looked at least like it was a modded Skyrim, and then it was also ESO not running at full settings, so there was like a ton of foliage missing and it looked very like plain and barren. But yeah, like Shin said, you know, like pre mods, Skyrim does, like, it looks good, but it doesn't look that good. And with all the graphic settings turned up on ESO, it actually looks pretty fucking good for an MMO.
Yeah. But hot damn, can you make Skyrim look pretty?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, I need to download those mods. That Bokeh
all of the mods. Field.
All of it, yes.
All of the Bokeh.
Realistic Knights. Oh, clean faces.
I need the torches. Yeah, clean faces, that's essential.
So, okay, moving on beyond ESO, because I imagine that we've already, you know, because just the sheer mention of it, we've lost 3/4 of the audience at this point. I also played Diablo 3. We talked about that. Played Final Fantasy 10. We talked about that. So the only other thing I really
like, have you had any, like, have you done the multiplayer of Diablo 3?
Yes, I have. I've been like, pretty much exclusively playing with friends.
How have you not reached out to me and we have played together?
No, I don't know, because I played with who was I?
You're playing with Blitz, I think.
Blitz, yeah, I played with Blitz. I don't think I have you on my BattleNet.
Okay, we'll have to
for shame.
That. Yeah, I need you added on there. But what was your question, Thurm, about the?
Oh, well, basically, like the one thing I think I remember hearing is like you can play with people who are other levels. Like, do they have a downscale system like Guild Wars or what?
That I'm not sure.
Like, how has it been for you? Basically, is my question.
That I'm not sure, because the people I was playing with were the same level as me. But the way I've noticed that it works, because I actually did play a higher level character with some lower level people, and the way it works is it seems as though the instance of your game, I guess, is scaled to that of the leader, the party leader. So if you're going to do that, maybe don't have the guy who's the highest level, create the game, unless you're trying
power leveling.
Well, yeah, unless you're trying to power level, in which case, yeah, go for it, because holy shit, you can gain some levels fast in that game. Or at least you could when they were doing the bonus 100% experience weekend. But I don't know. I mean, like, you know, multiplayer, single player, like, it's, there's not really that much of a difference to the game between the two, really. I don't know. There's not really much to say to it other than, you know, yeah, it's cool. Scales. You can dynamically change the difficulty. So if, you know, somebody there's maybe less gear than everyone else and keeps dying, you can actually like drop the difficulty without having to leave the game.
I'm glaring at Squiddle through the internet.
Why? Why?
You know why?
I said less gear. And I you know, the game can't compensate for bad.
I heard kept dying.
Oh, okay, look. So. If I could gear myself in Guild Wars the same way I do in Diablo 3.
Hey, this is not a Guild Wars specific problem.
No, I would be better at you than everything if I could do that. So let's just throw those stones.
Sounds like a challenge.
Let's throw those stones, see, okay?
Here's the thing, though, Squiddle, is that Guild Wars has horizontal progression. So as soon as you hit 80, you already had access to the ability to gear yourself to
Shut up.
Efficiency.
Shut up.
Yep.
That's not the point.
That is the point.
That's not the point.
The only other game I played, other than those that we've already talked about, was Infamous Second Son. That's
a video game.
PS4 release. That game's pretty.
When did you get a PS4? I didn't know you got a PS4.
Like probably 2-3 weeks after launch.
Okay.
It would have been a little sooner, but fucking had a hard time finding one anywhere.
Because I know you had a Wii U, and you were such an advocate, I would never thought you would own another system besides a Wii U.
If you have a Wii U, what more do you need?
I mean, that's true. PlayStation Plus, really, is what I mean. What you need.
Oh, okay. So if you can put PlayStation Plus on the Wii U.
I needed a companion machine to my Vita. That's really
Cool. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
No, the Second Son, though, that game, I'm so glad that I have it. Like, not only is it is a good game, like, you know, mm-hmm, everything else aside, it is actually a really fun, good game. But I'm so glad to have it, because it's the first game I played on the PS4 that actually, like, I feel good about the purchase. It feels like I'm playing a next-gen game finally.
Yeah.
Because Killzone did not feel like that as much as I wanted it to.
It looks good, but...
It looks decent.
Can I speak in hypotheticals real quick?
Sure.
If Watch Dogs would have come out when it did,
mm-hmm,
would Infamous Second Son, do you think, hypothetically, would it have been better based on story, even though you don't know Watch Dogs' story? I completely get that. Right. But do you think, as having more time in creating the game and tweaking it and making it look prettier, do you think it would have been better than Watch Dogs?
I think if we're talking in hypotheticals and we're assuming that Watch Dogs came out and was a solid game from, you know, story and tech standpoint, I think Infamous wouldn't have sold as well.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people were looking at Watch Dogs as their next-gen experience. But because that went away, the first one they really got was Infamous.
So I'm not convinced Watch Dogs will be a next-gen experience after that massive downgrade it got.
Well, the situation is
preposterous.
Did it really get downgraded or just theoretical downgraded?
No, like if you look at the reveal compared to what they've been showing since, it looks way worse.
So were they showing it PC side or console side?
They've been
side?
Showing like everything that, side.
Did you watch the Welcome to Chicago trailer?
That looks bad compared to the original reveal.
It looks a lot better than the one people were saying looked like a PS2 game.
Well, that's because that they were picking specific frames out of that video.
Right, you think this is like a Aliens it Colonial Marine sort of thing where they really gussied up the vertical slice?
Yeah,
No, I think it's a Dark Souls thing. It's just
an Ubisoft thing. They have done this before. I remind you to go back and look at the original Far Cry 3 reveal.
Right. But like I said, I think it's more so it's a Dark Souls 2 thing where like that was their target, that was what they wanted to hit. And by the time the game released, they got really close, but just kind of
missed. I said this on Mumble, and I'm going to say it here, and everyone on Mumble when I said it got really mad at me because they knew I was right. Well, knew the person that I originally read that posted this was right, saying that all of this Watchdog nonsense means we're going to be really, really sad when Ubisoft decides to show off The Division again.
So what you're saying is that if we wait for Watch Dogs Blood Lizard, it will be better. It'll be better, and that's what we should wait for.
Pretty much. Okay. Now,
Blood Dragon's so good.
I will say, after seeing the recommended PC specs, you know, unoptimized or not, I'm super glad I upgraded my computer because that's probably going to be the version I'll end up
Optimization,
playing.
Optimization? What's that? Says Ubisoft.
I haven't even looked at what the specs they
their engine is recommended really, really is
8 gigs of RAM.
Oh, that's nothing. Okay.
Recommendation recommended is apparently an 8-core, which doesn't exist unless you're getting an AMD, because logical cores and physical cores are not the same thing.
Yeah, it says 8-core, and then it specifies the 3770K.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Video card oddly like as low as a 560 Ti.
Yeah, which is 670 for part of it.
Forgive me, I still have ATI or AMD video cards. So what is a 560 Ti or in specs?
I'd be like what, like a 6770, something like that. I don't know. I don't know the direct comparison.
Well, like I guess I would say RAM. Is it a 3 gig RAM card?
Video RAM means next to nothing.
I don't know if it means next to nothing. Really,
it means next to nothing. The only thing video RAM really matters for is the resolution you're rendering at, and like the texture memory. Other than that, like judging the power of a video card based on its VRAM is silly.
Okay.
You usually have to look at the number of shader cores, and I guess if you're doing that, pretty much like, because it's the same thing with clock speed, where judging things on clock speed is silly.
I guess this is why I fail at every game that I play, because I look at video RAM and clock speed, and if those aren't good, then I obviously suck.
Because it's like one of those things where if you look at like AMD versus Intel CPUs, AMD CPUs run at a way higher clock speed.
Yeah.
So people who don't know would just be like, oh, that's a bigger number. It's obviously better. But that's just all that clock speed is. It's just a number of cycles per second. You also have to take into account how much can get done in one cycle. So, yeah.
Okay, the capacity of a cycle as opposed to how many cycles.
And just like Ubisoft doesn't realize that logical cores don't equal physical cores, because there's no way in hell you're going to get an Intel CPU with 8 cores without spending an insane amount of money. Actually, I don't even know if they make them. They might only go up to 6 for the Xeon stuff.
So what I'm going to do at work is I'm going to get at least 2 of our ESX servers booted up with 48 gigs of RAM, and I'm going to throw 28 procs, virtual procs at it, out of all the servers, and we're going to see how this fucker runs.
You'll get Watch Dogs at least 45 frames a second.
It's probably going to run bad because there's going to be no video processing going on.
Oh, damn. But it specifically says I can enable Windows 7 GPU processing if I allocate more RAM. So now all I need to do is bring another server online where I can channel that through, and we're good, right?
Downloadmoreram.com.
Yep. Oh, man.
Yeah, that engine.
You'll be able to run Watch Dogs, no problem.
That Ubi engine, whatever the hell it's called, Anvil, I want to say it is, for their open world stuff, is notorious for being terribly optimized for CPUs, or CPU optimized, whatever you want to call it.
The AMD one is the 7850, is the equivalent.
For a 560 Ti? Yeah, I don't know anything about AMD cards because their drivers are terrible.
I'm looking at the Watch Dogs store page.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
All right. So I think I'm running like a 7990. Or something like that.
I've had nothing but issues with AMD drivers since like the dawn of time.
I've never bought one.
And I used to run NVIDIA for the longest time. And then my previous boss said, no, you need to go with AMD, because I guess AMD was doing better at that time than NVIDIA was. So we went with AMD, and I've never had issues with those. So I've always just stuck with AMD at this point.
My problem with NVIDIA, which is actually sort of AMD's fault... is that NVIDIA is so far ahead in terms of just raw power that they have the larger market share and they can just charge whatever they want.
Yeah, I agree. There is no top dog to kind of bring them down.
That's kind of AMD's fault. Like, AMD, pick up your game so I can get NVIDIA cards for cheaper.
Yep. But on that note, Infamous is a great game. People who own a PS4 should play it.
I have a PS4.
It's worth it. It's the only decent thing out for the PS4 right now, exclusively.
I dropped $60 on the PlayStation Store the other day, but it was for an MLB The Show pre-order. So,
all right. But I'd really like to get the opinion of someone who's actually been to Seattle, to like, because the last game that people like that was a realistic setting. It was last generation, but it was the GTA 5. And people were like, well, this seems a lot like Los Angeles in a lot of different places. Not exactly one-to-one, but it's kind of crazy. Like with games like Arma or GTA, or like it's recreating or basically making something seem very realistic looking. And I don't know, it'd be interesting on the days, or not days, but years to come.
You've been to Seattle, so obviously you just need to get a PS4 in this game.
Yeah, well, I'd get a PS4, but I spent all on a flight to across the continent.
I've been to Seattle, but it was when I was 14 years old.
I don't think that counts.
No? Okay.
Well, unless you got, like, photographic memory or something, but yeah.
It might count.
There were duck rides, duck boat rides. Do they have those in the game?
I have those in Boston.
They have those in Missouri as well.
I want to say Boston's the original one, or Baltimore is the original one. It starts with a B. I want to say it's Boston.
Branson.
Yeah, Branson.
Yep,
that's it.
That's actually where it is in Missouri that has the duck race.
Oh, okay. See, when I Google duck boat, Boston duck tour is the first one that shows up, so I'm going to go with that.
Are we going to go on a duck tour over there?
No, we're not.
Really?
You can. I'm not going to stop you.
Because Monday, I thought, was the day where we're just doing like a tour of Boston.
Monday is the day we need to check out of the hotel and drive home.
Oh, okay.
Monday, I'll be leaving on a flight very early in the morning.
Here's the thing. The Royal Rumble is Sunday at 10:30.
Okay.
After that, by the time – because you remember last year, by Sunday afternoon, we were pretty much done with PAX, right?
Right.
That means that Sunday is going to be our Boston fun day.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That'll work.
All right. Well, I think unless there's any news topics you guys wanted to talk about, we'll just go to plugs.
Fuck Facebook for buying Oculus Rift.
The more I thought I'm just going to throw in my two cents. The more I thought about it, the more I think it's actually a good idea.
Yeah, I'm speaking for the masses, but I have come around thinking that it was a good idea for it to happen. I will agree with that.
Carmack convinced me.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't seem to grasp is that they were already owned more or less by people who are wanting to do much worse things than what Facebook is wanting to do, i.e. like sell it or try and release it to the public in a commercial sense before it's ready.
Yep.
Because they had racked up so much venture capital from various people who were like willing to finance them, but do malicious things.
Need a return on investment.
Yes. Immediate return on investment.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, I think I was listening to the Geekbox or Comedy Button. I don't remember which one they were talking about it, but they said when it comes to marketing the Oculus to people who have no idea what VR gaming is, they wouldn't have had the funds or the ability to really market it as well as Facebook could if it becomes a gaming peripheral.
That's still going to be a big challenge in the future. Like, if they want to show that at something like Target every day, then you'd have some, like, they better be going through so many wet wipes, or just like mass pink eye is going to be going around.
Well, true, but there are lemmings out there who say, oh, Facebook owns this. It must be good. We must buy one. As opposed to, who's this company? Oculus Rift? I don't know who this is. Why would I buy one of these?
Isn't that some movie that just came out?
There is a movie called Oculus. Yeah. Good pull.
Oh. But,
who's this John Carmack?
Yeah, exactly. But I think that the name brand will give it better recognition, and people who aren't into gaming will buy it because, it's a Facebook thing.
As long as Facebook isn't branded like big ass letters on the front of like they're showing on the.
Would be very surprised if it was.
Like if it's on the strap or something, like whatever, that's fine.
Speaking of VR, one of my favorite threads of the year so far was a Gaff thread about Sony was showing off their Project Morpheus VR thing in Japan, and they were showing off a whole bunch of like anime gal games with it. And the entire thread was just like console market in Japan saved.
Unfortunately, population not.
Yeah, because people were posting Hatsune Miku GIFs in interesting positions with VR involved.
I am really hoping that is what comes about. I mean, it is what will come about, essentially, if it gets to the mass public. I can't wait for that day. In the weird, creepy way that it may be. But it'll be the next evolution in porn. I'll just say that right now.
Let's just not beat around the bush here, or will we beat around the bush?
We will beat that bush until it is smooth and silky clean.
What?
Wait, huh? I'm sorry. Okay,
let's go to plugs. But yeah, that's Shinboy. What's your plug for?
A plug
song of the week, song with whatever.
Song of the week. Song I have on right now is "Hell Hath No Fury" off of. That new hot I can't figure out how to pronounce it because I'm not from Europe. So you know what I'm talking about? Tour? T-Y-R? Because weird accent over the Y?
Tire?
I watched a video that has nothing but the band explaining how to pronounce their name.
That's pretty good.
That's when you know you have a good name.
Yep. It's some form of god in some Norse culture of sorts. I don't know. But yeah. Also, everyone on this podcast, except for Duren, because he's a bad person, is going to be at PAX, and I guess by the time you listen to it, this weekend.
I get it hasn't officially been announced, but there's been hintings and rumorings that there will be a PAX somewhere in the middle of America in the future.
Yes,
Duren is extremely happy about that. I having traveled, having made plans to travel across the country to get to a PAX easier than the one that's in the state next to me. Would also be interested in this prospect because it's less travel time. Squiddle, Midwest.
If it's in Denver, we can get so stoned and that would be fucking awesome.
Okay.
Is Denver still considered Midwest? Or like Central Time?
I'm pretty sure it's Central Time and not Mountain.
It is Mountain.
Oh, it's Mountain Time?
Yeah, I think it is Mountain. It is Mountain. I'm just saying.
Like, yeah.
So I guess it's Shinboy. Yeah, would you go to PAX Central Time or Mountain Time?
Central, like, I have no interest in going to Chicago, honestly. I don't have any interest in going to Chicago because that's the city they would have it in. Let's be real here.
Isn't Chicago, like, right next to you?
No.
What?
You, do you not know how
I am horrible with geography. Geology and history I'm good with. When you ask me where Missouri is, I would say it's north of me to the right, maybe.
You're in Arizona, right?
And he's in Texas.
He's in
Texas.
Okay.
No, Arizona is up and to the left, and Fargo is up north because that's where the movie was made. And Mississippi is maybe to the right a little bit.
These directions are relative.
You mean east. Happening? I'm kind of taken back that you don't know where Chicago is in relation to Boston and Texas.
Okay, so Boston is like a four and a half hour drive, right? Boston's like a 4.5 hour drive from here.
Okay.
4.5 to 5. Chicago is like a 12 to 13 hour drive. So.
Well, nothing good ever came out of Chicago, so.
Okay, do you know where the Great Lakes are of America?
Yes, because my family came from Michigan.
Okay. Chicago's at the southern tip of the Great Lakes.
Of Lake Michigan, to be specific.
Yes. Which is the southernmost point of those
Great Lakes. That's the dong-looking one.
Yes.
Okay. You learn something new every day.
This is the Lincoln Cast, Scotch Cast, geography.
This is why people make fun of America.
Oh, God.
The fact that you're from Texas doesn't help.
That is fair enough. I can attest to
technically
that.
Technically, he's not part of America. He's annexed in.
Texas, it's like a whole other country.
Does it matter if I was born in Louisiana?
That doesn't help your cause either.
Yeah. Squiddle, do you have a plug for the show?
Maps is my second plug.
Yeah, maps.
I will follow up what Shin said. It's how you pronounce it.
I don't believe you. I think it's actually like lower, like deeper. It's like a tour almost.
Well, it is tour. It's T-R-E, the upside down E and an R. However you say that. But it is a god associated with law and heroic glory in Norse mythology, portrayed as a one-handed. Anyway, just to cover that, my song or plug for this time and venture is going to be End of All Hope on the Century Child album from Nightwish.
Century Child is the best Nightwish album, and I will hear no other argument.
I will agree with that. I can listen to End of All Hope on a loop and never get sad of it or tired whatsoever. But also, Mr. Squiddle on Twitter. I will be blowing up Twitter while I am at PAX.
Yeah, if you're at PAX, you can just tweet at Lincoln Cast. And I know I at least have access to that. I'm pretty sure we can get everyone on there. At least the people, like, you know, third, you have access to that.
Yeah.
So tweet at that, and at least one of us will be able to see it. Because we're at the Seaport Boston, which is right by the convention center. So there's hella bars around there. So I might just, if you're at PAX,
please come and have drinks.
And I will just be like, yo, we at this bar, and just come hang out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's it for me. Durin, what you got?
I don't think I have anything this week. I got nothing.
Damn.
I mean, go play or go watch streams of ESO now that it's out.
Don't tell people to buy it, just watch it.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm not going to tell people to go drop $60 based on my recommendation. Go watch it. Like, there's plenty of people out there playing it. It's not nearly as broken as it was, and it plays pretty well.
Or you can wait till it's free to play next month.
Next month is a bit of a stretch, but okay. It's funny, I was going to make a joke earlier, but I stopped myself from when Durin was like, oh, I'll have my moment. And I was like, I'll listen to your moment in like 9 months when it's free. See ya.
Durin, any plugs?
Oh,
that's right.
No.
Okay. No more plugs?
It sounds like he's slowly dying of ESO poisoning over there.
I'm still... That my geography is...
It just blew your mind.
I'm having a piece together. Worried about this nation.
Hey, isn't Portland near California?
Kind of.
Good night, everybody.
Today was a big day in Portland.
Timbers?
They were playing the Seattle Sounders.
Was it a poor land?
Their biggest rival. Oh. And they played to a 4-4 draw, which is a crazy game. You should read this right up there. This should have been my plug, even though it has nothing to do with video games. It's that big ass image to open that article.
That's a pretty good image. Actually, I'm not sure this is a good thing or a bad thing, but when I first saw that image, I thought it was of the Ukraine.
Whenever the Timbers score at home, you got to set off the green smoke, and then Timber—I want to say it's Timber Joey now—revs up the chainsaw and cuts a disc off of a log and passes it up through the crowd.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yep,